Good morning, Your Honors. Shan Pott for the petitioner, Telles Gonzalez. The petitioner is before this court on the three issues before the court. The petitioner's the issue of voluntary departure, and also the issue of motion to reopen, equitable tolling, as well as exceptional circumstances, and the Board of Appeals sua sponte power to reopen. The petitioner is a longtime resident of the United, longtime resident of the United States, resided in the United States since 1988. He's married to a United States citizen wife, as well as he has four United States citizen children and a lawful permanent resident father. The petitioner, the immigration court issued a decision on April 11, 2002, denying the petitioner's claim for cancellation and removal. Subsequently, the petitioner sought review at the Board of Immigration and Appeals, and that was denied because there was a lack of exceptional hardship and extreme hardship. Therein, the petitioner, his wife became a United States citizen children, a citizen, and making him eligible for adjustment of status. He then sought to reopen his case before the board.
Now, so his motion to reopen was filed a month late.
Yes.
Now, what was the reason for that? Did he offer any justification or excuse for filing it a month late?
There's several grounds for justification for filing the motion to reopen late. The first one is that the petitioner's wife became a United States citizen on July 23, 2003. With due diligence, the petitioner then sought to reopen the case based on her changed status. The motion to reopen was due on September 25th, 2003, and he subsequently filed the motion to reopen on October 23rd, 2003. There was a month time which caused the motion to be filed late.
Could he have filed that motion timely had he been diligent?
I believe the petitioner was diligent in light of the fact that his wife became a United States citizen in July of 2003, and then he sought.
He still had time to file the motion to reopen before the deadline passed.
That's true.
And what explains his failure to do it during that time period? Anything?
There is a combination of factors. The petitioner asserts that there were exceptional circumstances which caused its delay.
What are they?
One was that at the time in which he filed he sought review from his counsel, who advised him to file, rather than appealing the case directly to the Ninth Circuit, would advise him to file a motion to reopen. So based on that advisor, he filed a motion to reopen with the board rather than going to the Ninth Circuit. If he would have went directly to the Ninth Circuit, he wouldn't have the opportunity for relief because the Ninth Circuit wouldn't have been able to grant him with the relief of adjustment
status. Did they advise him to file it late?
They didn't advise him to file it late, but there are exceptional circumstances which explain why the filing was late and explain
That's
why.
That's what Judge tried to ask you. What are the exceptional circumstances?
Well, if the Board of Appeals refuses to reopen on these facts, it would create an unconscionable result. This petitioner is otherwise available for relief, but for the fact that he filed 30 days late. In other contexts,
I think there are no exceptional circumstances explaining the failure to file late. You're simply saying it has a bad result for your client.
Well, there is an exceptional, respectfully, there is an exceptional circumstances. In another context, in the issue of motions to reopen where individuals have been ordered removed in absentia, this court has recognized that where the failure to reopen a case causes unconscionable results, where the individual is otherwise eligible for relief, and apart from the exceptional circumstance doesn't necessarily have to relate to the failure to file late, but it can relate to the consequences.
I understand what you're arguing, but I'm just trying to understand why the month delay. Why did he wait a month after the deadline passed to file the motion to reopen?
There are no explanations for why he waited for that month, but we do believe
there
are exceptions.
Were you his counsel then?
No, I was not his counsel.
Did he have another lawyer?
Yes.
Was that lawyer ineffective?
I don't believe so. I believe in light of these circumstances.
Did the lawyer tell him to file late?
No.
Did he tell him to file on time?
I'm not party to whether his advisors with that counsel.
Maybe you'd like to look into that if you lose here.
Yeah, I understand. Respectfully, I believe there are exceptional circumstances. This Court has recognized exceptional circumstances where it creates an unconscionable result.
What case would you rely on for our authority to disregard the untimeliness?
Well, it's a case, Gonzalez, before the Ninth Circuit, which deals with motions, deals with orders.
You've got a lot of Gonzalez cases.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't have the site.
Which side was Gonzalez on in that case?
He was the respondent.
Respondent.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have the site on that case?
No, I don't. But in that case, where the individual was ordered removed in absentia and he was otherwise eligible for relief, they found that to be an exceptional circumstance. That's analogous to this situation where this individual was otherwise eligible for relief, and but for his late filing, he would be eligible.
They found it was an exceptional circumstance that he had been removed from the country and was unable to file on time.
Well, in that context, it was dealing with individuals who failed to show for their hearing. The court ruled that
that was a valid excuse for not showing up. The government had removed you.
Well, the crux of the court's decision wasn't the excuse for failing to show, but it was whether or not it would cause any prejudice on the government, and whether or not if the individual's order removed, the consequences would be unconscionable.
So you're saying that any time there's a late filing, we have authority to disregard it if it would reach a bad result?
That's what this court has ruled in the past when it's dealt
with. Well, that
would
be a nice rule, but which case did we rule that in?
That's what I just mentioned.
That would be an enlightened rule.
Right. Well, okay. We'll look at the Gonzalez case, and if we can find that rule, you might prevail.
I'll ask my clerks to look in the Gonzalez case.
I apologize for that.
All right. Do you want to save a little time for rebuttal?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Nora Oscali Schwartz for Respondent Gonzalez, I think I can help counsel out. Perhaps the cases he's referred to are cases where two judges of this panel have participated or authored, Azarte Barroso and Salvador Calleros. But none of the extensions of the motion, of the filing dates for motion to reopen and voluntary departures in those cases apply here. In this case, he was denied cancellation of removal for lack of good moral character, for failure to establish 10 years residence, as well as for failure to establish exceptional and extremely unusual hardship. He appealed to the board. While the appeal was pending, he married the mother of his four United States children, and a few months later, the board denied his appeal of the denial of cancellation. He didn't bring up the marriage then. His wife was a lawful permanent resident for whom he could have made an argument. Here's my status has changed, exceptional and extremely unusual hardship now to my changed status now that I have an LPR wife. But he didn't do that. And then within 30 days of the board's decision, his wife naturalized. She had noticed before she appeared and took the oath of office that she would be naturalizing. So he had time within the time of his voluntary departure to move to reopen.
He's represented by counsel all
throughout.
So it's really a case of bad lawyering.
We don't know that, Your Honor. He may not have told his attorney. There is no evidence of that.
Right.
There is
no
evidence here.
We do not know exactly, but it seems to me that, I mean, if he was represented by counsel should be aware of these deadlines. And
he may not have told his attorney. We don't know. We can't say an effective assistance of counsel when there's
no
allegation.
No, we can't say it here anyway.
No, there's been no allegation. It hasn't been exhausted. And there's nothing in the record to indicate when the communications took place. He may simply have not told his lawyer. The responsibility is his. And whether he's
But you're assuming he didn't tell his lawyer, so let's just not assume anything.
Go on. Forgive me, Your Honor, then we cannot assume that there was ineffective lawyering.
No, we can't do anything about it here. If you were his counsel, I assume that would be something you would check into.
But the point is, on the record here, yes, he had the ability to move to reopen within the time for voluntary departure. He certainly had time to move to reopen within the 90 days. In his brief to the board, which I really don't understand, he says that the time started 30 days after the board's decision, so he was timely because he filed 30 days plus 90 days. And I'm not sure I understand why. I'm not sure if I understand.
No, I'm not sure why either. I'm not
okay,
sure
so let's not go there. Difference. But that was his argument to the board. However, to this court, he says, well, we should have equitably told the time. A, it's not exhausted. B, it doesn't apply because there's no basis for equitable tolling on this record. And
now, if he had applied in time, he would have been eligible for adjustment of status or not?
He would have been eligible to apply. Again, there are the good moral character issue here, but that is up to the, he would have had the opportunity to be heard. And certainly I would hope, well, the point is that's speculation, but yes, he would have been eligible to apply. However, in this case, there's another problem. The crux of his brief, and I have several cases, but in this case was that he wasn't advised of the failure to of the consequences of failing to depart. He hasn't addressed that argument in his opening argument, but the point is, how much clearer could the immigration judge and the board have been about the consequences of failing to depart? He was told and he was given notice in writing, if you don't depart, you won't, within the voluntary departure period, you won't be eligible to adjust your status. He was told several times by the immigration judge. He was handed notices in writing, and he was advised by the board the first time. And then the board denied him because it was untimely. There's no notice issue. There's no equitable tolling issue. There's no sua sponte issue because he hasn't exhausted it. And this court has said that there is you have no jurisdiction over a decision or any issue regarding sua sponte. Yeah. So basically, he's out of time, and unfortunately,
you'll deport him. He won't be eligible to return for 10 years.
Unless he gets away.
And so then his American children will also have to leave.
Why would they? Their mother's a citizen.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter whether they have a father. We don't believe in keeping families
together.
Your
Honor, I know I believe in family unity also, but he violated the law.
Except that means that his American children will also have to leave, doesn't it? If you believe in family, no?
No, Your Honor, because, well, families separate for many reasons. First of all, this is not a moral judgment, but first of all, he was not married to the mother of their children until about 6 months before.
It's not a moral judgment. Why are you pointing it out?
Because of the fact that that wouldn't have been, you're right, it wouldn't. I was thinking of family separation, and then he wouldn't have been separated from his wife, so that wouldn't have been legally a family unity issue.
Well, the answer is yes, that you believe that the solution under the law is that his children will have to leave the country if they want to have a father.
It depends. Then they may have to have a choice. They want to stay with their father or with their mother.
They have a choice, yes, of staying in this wonderful country or having a father. That's the choice.
Your Honor, this is a situation brought about by his own failure to follow
or
them
by
very
the law.
Clearly. But we have to abide by the law. We're all bound by it.
I just asked you whether that was what that the is consequence
is. That is the yes. consequence, yes. Okay. But I don't see any way around
filing.
It.
Can I ask you another question?
Oh, please.
I'm not trying to be funny here, but I'm trying to make sure we're talking about the same case. This is Juan Tellez-Lopez versus Gonzalez?
Yes.
You said there was a finding of bad moral character?
I believe so, but again, I've argued three cases in the past 2 days. Please forgive me for
when you said that, because I read this file, and so anyway.
Then please forgive me. I've confused it with the next case.
The moral character is the respondent appears to be an individual of good moral character.
Then forgive me. I did preface that, and I really sincerely apologize. This is my...
We're talking about the same case.
We're talking about the next case. No. I'm sorry.
Wait. So this...
Where's the dividing line? Where did you start talking about the next case?
Oh, I'm sorry. The good moral character issue.
I have the wrong case.
Okay. No, was there a good moral character issue here?
I just read it. The respondent appears to be an individual of good moral character for the purpose of relief for which he is applying. Then I read the two BIA decisions, and there's nothing
saying an adverse good moral.
That's why he got voluntary departure.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Please forgive me. It's the next case that there was a finding.
All right, again, I'm not trying to be funny, but is there anything else you've told us about the next
case? No, that was the only thing, and I did preface that by saying I may have it confused. That is the only issue I have had confused. The law is clear. And the facts are clear on this case. That is the only one I made a mistake on, and I really do apologize.
Well, okay, so let's – I just have a question for the government. I know that the Department of Homeland Security has been entering into mediation on some of these cases, and I'm just wondering why this isn't a candidate for that because, I mean, there was a finding of good moral character. He did get voluntary departure. He does have 4 U.S. citizens children, a U.S. citizen wife, and his father is a lawful permanent resident, and he takes care of his father. I'm just wondering why you haven't. And he's going to be deported and be ineligible to come back for 10 years, all because of a one-month delay in filing the motion to reopen. It just seems to me this is a case where maybe the department might want to look at it a little more carefully and see if there's a better resolution.
But that's exactly the point, Your Honor. He could have gone to DHS and said...
No, but he made a mistake.
He made a mistake.
He made a mistake. Now, the consequence is he's going to be separated from his children for 10 years, and the children will grow up without a father, or American children have to leave the country. That's a pretty high price for a mistake. Now, that may be the law, but that doesn't prevent the government from acting decently. And what Judge Wardlaw asked, and I had understood that as a general policy in these adjustment of status cases, that the government was willing to enter into mediation and that they were doing it.
I think Your Honor is addressing the cases in which Department of Homeland Security will agree to reopening when certain qualifications are met, but one of them is the voluntary departure has not been violated. I will, however, of course, bring to my clients that if they wish to waive the requirements and reconsider it, they can, but that is entirely within their unreviewable discretion.
Well,
but I will bring it to my client.
You know, that would be nice if they would do that, but we weren't even going that far.
We're just talking about having
a program where the government enters into discussions with the other side, which I thought, as I said, that we had some arrangement on the adjustment of status cases, that they were entering into discussions.
If certain requirements are met, but they're not met here because of the voluntary departure tolling.
But always be cases where they haven't met voluntary departure. They're always here.
I know, but...
And the time for voluntary departure to always run in those cases.
But they're stayed by holdings in Azarte and Barroso and Salvador Calleras. Did I pronounce that correctly? That was your case, I think,
yes.
Your Honor. The point is he doesn't fall within any of the protective devices of any of these cases
of the statute
of the writ.
That doesn't prevent the government from saying, look, this is really a pretty harsh consequence, and we understand it's the law, and we understand people make mistakes, and maybe, you know, we could let this family remain or not. I mean, you could look at the family and say, is this really, you know, a nice family where it would really be a moral, you didn't want to talk about morals, but it would really be a moral offense to break up the family because this man made the mistake. That may be the law, but it's not a requirement for the government.
What are the inexorable legal consequences of failure to depart on time after receiving an appropriate warning?
You're ineligible for 10 years for stated forms of relief, which are the immigration judge and the board advised him of several times, adjustment of status, cancellation of removal, and a few others. There are two issues here. There's
the return to the country also, aren't
there? Oh, and anyway, to return to the country. There are waivers available, and that's the other way to do it, which is without going beyond the statute or the regs, he can apply for a waiver, and that's a way to stay within the regulatory and statutory framework and allow DHS to exercise its discretion, and that's the way for him to do it, as opposed to going, you know, beyond the four corners of the case and the law and the statute and say, well, you know, which I am still happy to do, bring it to my client and say exercise of discretion. But the point is, at a certain point, this court and the board and the government have a right to enforce an agreement. In this case, he said, okay, if you give me voluntary departure, I will leave in 30 days, and he doesn't leave.
It turns out it's a big mistake for people to ask for voluntary departure.
It may be, but he did agree to it.
Can you tell him that? You know, it's really not in your interest to ask for voluntary departure because you get a very short period to exercise your rights, and when you don't do it, you're in terrible trouble. And so be careful about asking the government for a favor because, you know, we're not that friendly government you think we are.
Your Honor, really, I don't think it's unfriendly. I think DHS has acted appropriately.
No, but I'm saying it's not a favor to give somebody voluntary departure. Normally you have 90 days, as you know, to move to reopen. You get voluntary departure, and according to the government, you only have 30 days.
You
cut short your time to file, and you may not understand that. You know, not all the lawyers who practice in this field are as experienced as the government counsel, and they tend not to meet time limits. It's not unusual, as you know.
Well, Your Honor, I think if you're within time and there's a good case, I have not had to defend a case where the alien is, since it's Arce Barroso and Salvador Pinheiro.
Well, we had to write those opinions to get around the government's position.
Yes, you did, but that's, I believe, as far as it could be taken, and we have honored that. Yeah. And in most circuits.
But even there, you're still supposed to file within the voluntary
within the motion to reopen time.
Yeah. No, within the voluntary departure period time. What we said is you don't have to ask for a stay. Your filing is enough because the government said even if you file, if you haven't also asked for a stay, you're out of luck. Aha.
No. We're bound by the statute. And believe
right.
me.
Well, anyway, you're going to go back and ask the Department of Homeland Security if, in addition to taking care of all the other problems, they could see if
I will suggest that they take a look at this case.
And at our mediation process, too.
I do need to respond to that. The mediation process we would not agree to because we believe it's completely governed. This would be entirely discretionary at the part of my client.
So it's mediation. I mean, when you go to mediation, you're not bound by anything. It's just you meet with the mediator who's talks to the government and to the other side. And if you agree to something, fine. If you don't agree, nothing happens.
But again, I do want to be very clear. I don't feel that we would agree to mediation in this case because there has been no basis for error in this in any of the decisions below, and it would be entirely discretionary.
Well, this whole thing is discretionary anyway, right? So maybe going through the process would help your client focus on this particular family. And is there a job here? Are they paying taxes? Are the four U.S. citizen children otherwise going on welfare or something? And we just don't know enough about this family, but maybe you could look into it.
I will
see the mediation process.
Again, because it is so entirely discretionary,
you really should check with your client on that because I'm quite certain they're engaged in our mediation process.
Oh, absolutely.
I know they are. Several cases where they are.
Well, through my office.
Yeah.
Yes.
And but I'm happy to actually. It's just a jurisdictional matter. I would prefer to ask them to do it on their own,
if they'd like to do it on their own, we'll certainly accept that.
Thank you.
And if they don't want to do it on their own, then ask them if they'd not enjoy a visit to San Francisco.
I love going to San Francisco. Thank you, Your Honors.
Case just started. Do you have anything further? Yes, we'll defer submission until we hear further from the government. Next case is Franco Rosendo versus